good morning. Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on with our series Into the Wild. We're looking at the life of Moses. And this Sunday, we were looking at the famous passage at the end of Exodus chapter 13 and the through chapter 14, the crossing of the Red Sea. You know, this extraordinary passage where the Israelites, they have been delivered from Egypt, but as they're kind of wandering in the wilderness and they kind of park beside the Red Sea, Pharaoh and the Egyptians change their minds and they think, what have we done? And so they come out after them in their chariots, their full military might, and they're coming for the Israelites. And there's an extraordinary thing that happens in chapter 14, verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, the response of the Israelites and the response of Moses. Moses is a response that really, to be honest, gives me a lot of hope. Moses, after the Israelites, we'll talk about their response here in a moment. Moses really encourages the people to trust the Lord. He says, look, have faith, don't be afraid. Watch what God is going to do here. God is going to save us. And the reason that gives me such extraordinary hope is that back in chapter 5, when the Israelites kind of turned on Moses for the first time, the people of Israel, Moses totally folded. And he looked at God and said, you know, God, why did you even send me back to Egypt? This is the first time where he goes into Egypt and things get really bad. Pharaoh makes the people continue to make bricks, but he takes the straw from them and makes life harder for them. The first time that he tells Moses and Aaron, no, I won't let the people go. And the people get really mad with Moses, and Moses looks at God and is like, God, why did you even bring me here? And I just find it so extraordinary that it hasn't been that much time. And here we are a few chapters later, and instead of Moses looking to God and saying, God, what in the world are you doing? Why'd you even bring us out here? He says, guys, let's all trust God. Let's believe God is going to deliver us. We've seen God do this before. We'll see God do it again. And it's just so encouraging to me that God really does change people. He really does grow our faith. And as we said on Sunday, when we trust God and obey him, that faith and obedience leads to life and freedom. God tells Moses, raise up your staff over the waters. The waters part. God makes a way where there was no way. And when they get to the other side of the sea, they look back and they see their vanquished enemy and they realize we are free. And that leads to life and to joy. They sing to God all throughout chapter 15. But also, we talked about the Israelites, and I wanted to highlight kind of their response. It really is as a warning and as an admonition to us, and ultimately as a plea to all of us who are listening this morning. You know, the Israelites, when they see the Egyptian army coming, they look at Moses and they first give him this sarcastic response. They say, hey, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you led us out here in the wilderness to die? They basically look at Moses and say, I'm sorry, Moses. Was it just that there weren't big enough cemeteries back in Egypt that you thought you needed to bring us out here to the middle of nowhere so that we could die here? And it says in end of verse 10 or verse 11, it says that they cried out to the Lord, but it's not a cry of faith. It's a cry of, hey, can you get us out of this current circumstance? Because then what they say to Moses just shows that, I mean, they're not trusting. They don't trust God. They so quickly turn back to kind of their old ways, even though they've seen God do such extraordinary things. I don't think it's an overstatement to say that these people, this group of people, this generation of Israelites probably got to see God do more amazing things than anybody. I mean, they just saw his activity so much, and yet this is going to be a pattern for them. This pattern of unbelief where they don't fully trust God, they waver in their faith, and it has really dire consequences for that generation. They just don't trust the Lord and believe him even though they see his activity. They constantly go back to their old ways. One author said it this way. He said, you know, it took one night to deliver Israel out of Egypt. It took 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. He said, it took one night to take Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to take Egypt out of Israel. And I think I would say that's beautifully said, but maybe even more true to say, it never really happened with that generation. God's purposes are not thwarted, right? The next generation of Israel does get into the promised land and God brings them there. But that generation dies in the wilderness because of their unbelief and their unwillingness to follow and trust and obey. And so I kind of laid before our folks on Sunday, and I'll just say this to you this morning. My plea, the application that I see from this passage is trust and obey. Stop wavering and commit to just trusting God and obeying Him, because He is a trustworthy God. He's worth trusting. He's worth obeying. Jesus is trustworthy. He is the God who makes ways when there are no ways. He's the God who's there for us, even when we look around and circumstances seem so bleak. God is trustworthy. And so I just encouraged our folks, and I encourage you this morning, if that's where you are, if you found yourself seeing God's activity in your life, saying that, yes, I believe in God, I believe Jesus, but looking at your life and the evidence of your life, and honestly, it's a lot of wavering. It's a lot of, man, when things are good, yeah, we're fine. But then when things are bad, I very quickly find myself just fearing and being anxious and not really trusting that God is going to make a way. I want to encourage you to just draw a line in the sand this morning and say, Lord, let this be the morning where I just commit to trusting You and obeying You, because I know that trusting and obeying You leads to life and joy and freedom. And hear me say, this is something that we need the Lord's help in, right? We need to ask Him to come in and just take residence in our heart and help us to trust and obey. Faith is a gift from the Lord. But I do believe there's some element of our decision in this where we can say to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to waver anymore. And I don't want to not trust You anymore. I want from this moment forward to fully trust You and to fully obey. And I'm asking for Your help in that. And so I want to give you some time just to pray that, if that's where you are this morning, to pray that to the Lord. Let's take some time and do that now. Well, thanks so much for joining us this morning for the LifePoint Drivecast. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, and we'll see you tomorrow.